Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friends, and welcome into the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. Week 1 breakdown, everything but Monday Night Football, which has got my San Francisco 49ers playing tonight. We are breaking down some of the latest news from Week 1. We got quick hitters on the positions, and we are going to be talking about all the potential ads. So it's breakdown slash waiver talk. We'll be building our top 5 on what waivers is. Maybe it's a little bit lighter than in previous years, but we got tons of dudes to talk about and tons of stuff to react from Week 1. I am Chris Welch. That is Scott Bogman. Oh boy, you are walking out with a Texas and a Steeler win. Ooh. You must be high flying, limousine riding, jet flying son of a gun. Woo!
Not a bad weekend right there, I'll tell you that much. Loved to see the Steelers defense playing great. Offense made me sick to my stomach, right? 6 field goals for Chris Boswell. And he had to punt because the punter got hurt in the fourth quarter.
A lot of Patterson. Game. Saw a lot of Cordarrelle Patterson whenever he tuned over.
He didn't have that much. I think he only had like 9 snaps. So it was.
Did he have like 7 touches? Did he get all the touches when he was in?
I think he had like 3 touches, but not a lot of Jalen Warren. So yeah, my game was definitely interesting. You know, going with a backup quarterback and a weirder game plan still worked out. So Steelers defense showed up and looked real strong.
I got to be happy about that. My 49ers going down. We're not breaking down Monday Night Football, obviously, so we don't have the whole story. But you got to be ready for it because, I mean, I remember we are doing the live stream at night, and it was like after the first set of games, there were very little injuries. And the second set of games brought like, oh, here's a couple more. We couldn't get an art. And then Thursday Night Football brought probably the biggest injury that we're going to talk about. Hopefully will be the last of them in Puka Nacua. Puka Nacua ended up like, he got hurt and then he was like standing around. Maybe he's going to come back. And then they carted him and he had to get on the cart and leave. What's our current word on Puka? I'm going to actually look at what Deepak has put out there, but have we seen anything new on Puka? Because this looks like this is going to be some time.
No, they just said several tests are being done today. Monday, as we're recording this, we're in the early afternoon as well. So still no official word about how long he's going to miss, but I think what Deepak was saying is like, you know, this guy obviously has an injury history from college bringing over. And that's, you know, I definitely him coming over from BYU. I was not I did not respect his game enough. I can tell you that immediately. But my biggest concern was his injury history. And good player, but he was injured a bunch in college and is proving to kind of be like that as well in the pros early in this season. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a little bit, though. I tried to get him going in Week 1 after his preseason nagging stuff here. Did not work. Fell on that knee and just couldn't get up again. So
here's the actual tweet from Deepak because he put it out after. He said, mechanism looks benign, which raises suspicion that this is a re-injury. Sliding against turf can re-rupture a bursa, which would swell and hurt in the short term. Also a chance they only partially reported diagnosis during camp, as in a bursa plus ligament sprain. So that's where it was kind of left off. Being carted out, the assumption is he's going to miss something. We're going to miss something. We just don't know the length of it. And I think this really reaps to Cooper Kupp. You know, I took a big hard turn on the back half of the draft season to make sure I had some equity in Cooper Kupp. And for what it's worth, I think it was on Pros that I, in Fantasy Pros that I had brought this up, but like there was this debate that was going on of like, look at how bad Cooper Kupp is. And then they're like, okay, well, the injury. And it was like, what is it? Is Cooper Kupp fallen off the earth and he's 30, whatever, and he's not good anymore. And this is Puka's world. Or is that all a causation from the injury? And I think if you watched last night, you kind of got your answer.
Pretty good.
Cooper Kupp was pretty dang good. He got all the targets. He was finding easy separation with the Lions. Lions defense is not nothing. And he was open. He was getting that separation. And with Puka out, he will take over and back to that primary role. So Cooper Kupp, it's not even a question if he's a top 10 wide receiver moving forward. It's just going to be how much higher can that raise? But what is this offense going to look like? And then it turns over to DeMarcus Robinson. And, you know, DeMarcus Robinson maybe being one of the bigger pickups of the week that we're going to end up talking about, because he ended up having 7 targets, 35 yards. But moving forward in like, you know, worse offense or worse defensive matchups, he might be able to get some targets for teams that try to pull a Mark Andrews on Cooper Kupp and double triple team him, that he could be a big pickup in this. But it looks like Puka, I'm expecting, I don't know, like, I guess my, like about a month is like what I'm prepared for.
This seems like an MCL sprain-ish type of thing going on here. Like, I think we would know if he had ruptured something already. I think that would have been pretty apparent. So going through the, you know, as Deepak said, maybe a re-injury, a re-aggravation of an injury, something like that. I expect him to miss significant time, and I think a month is pretty significant. So DeMarcus Robinson, I'll tell you what, keep an eye on Jordan Whittington. Jordan Whittington is a guy kind of in this similar situation coming out of college as Puka. Very skilled, you know, guy played at Texas with a lot of great players around him, but he was constantly hurt, always on the IL, so or IR, excuse me. So just a guy that has missed a bunch of time, but is very skilled as well. So he's a guy to keep an eye on just to see what his usage is moving forward with Puka down.
And by the way, Puka last night, the number one target percentage of any wide receiver from week one, 43.8% he had. He was the target. He also had 157 air yards, which I believe was second. It's surprising. You're gonna be surprised about that. Can you guess who the number one air yard guy this past week was?
Was it Mike Evans?
I'm trying to get this to popular. I see one of them. It is. So it's over 157 at this moment. If this thing ever loads, it is not. It's an AFC wide receiver. Oh, actually, you know what? I got it. There's another guy I didn't know. Okay. So these are both AFC. Okay. Here's a hint. Both of them, bad as garbage quarterbacks.
Okay. Well, Pickens has to be one of those guys.
He is not.
No.
Nope.
Was it Cortland Sutton?
Cortland Sutton was the one I first saw. He had
12 targets,
158 air yards with a 13.2 ADOT. But there is one wide receiver that had more air yards. But this guy had less than 50% air yard share.
Calvin Ridley
was not here. Yeah, it's very good. He was number 4 on the list. You ready?
Who is it?
Amari Cooper had an almost 20 ADOT, 48.2% air yard share, which is dramatically lower than the rest of these guys, but had 178 air yards.
I mean, but those might be, those targets might be targets that were 15 feet over his head.
Agreed. You know,
because Watson was miserable. Ugh.
Awful. Awful, awful. So throwing that. Okay, so let's go through a couple of the other big important injury things out there. Jordan Addison looks like he's going to miss a little bit here. Kind of going back to our boy Deepak again. He has a video that you can check out on the injuries. He did a video. When we do the Sunday Night Breakdown, he came on. But Deepak said that the video suggests a re-aggravation of a high ankle injury and is thinking this is probably a 2 to 3 week thing. This is what the data is confirming. We're still waiting for the Monday, Tuesday things, but you're going to look for him to miss a couple weeks. And the Minnesota Vikings have the 49ers coming up, and they will almost assuredly be playing from behind. And I think that's be, I think, you know, Justin Jefferson's just, it's going to be a big Justin Jefferson week, yeah, because that's what we're going to have to do. Sam Darnold played pretty well. Also might be a slight benefit, just throwing this out there, to Ty Chandler, who we saw Ty Chandler getting some run. Aaron Jones, I thought, looked great, but Ty Chandler was out there. Maybe with the loss of an Addison, that might, they might want to bring Ty Chandler in just a tiny bit more to play on some of the screen passes and stuff like that. But I don't think there's any other big beneficiary. You could tell me if you feel otherwise than Addison.
I mean, I really wanted Naylor to be the beneficiary here because it looked like he had won that third job, but...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out.
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
in this league.
That third spot behind, in there's still no TJ Hawkinson, right? So like, okay, wheels up for Jalen Naylor, but, and he did have a touchdown from Sam Darnold in week one game here, but Brandon Powell played more snaps. Brandon Powell didn't, I don't think, saw one target at all, but he was on the field more than Jalen Naylor. So I still slide towards Jalen Naylor between both of those guys as someone that's going to pick up, kind of like DeMarcus Robinson. But I think DeMarcus Robinson is safer because that role is more defined for him. So I would rather lean towards Robinson if I'm picking up like a third wide receiver with somebody going down.
Every time you say Jalen Naylor, I think of Naylan Palin. Lisa Ann's in my head. Every time you hear that, that's all that I hear.
You just see like, Lisa Ann. Hey, look, I bet she has an opinion on Jalen Naylor. She's a fantasy analyst, right?
I mean, 15 yard out, Sam Darnold could get it to either Jalen Naylor or Naylan Palin.
The next movie, he's going to be called Naylan Naylor.
So Addison's going to miss some time, but that might equal, you might have to see Darnold and Jefferson in a Cooper Kupp like role where they're going to have to probably move Jefferson around a little bit more. They just didn't like, they only targeted him 6 times. They're going to have to fix that. But I really think I had mentioned, stupid idiot me, like I loved Aaron Jones in a reception prop, but I even said it on the prop show. The safer one is the receiving yards because like he will throw like low volume passes. And that's what speaks to Aaron Jones and is going to speak to a Ty Chandler as maybe a beneficiary. Another one, it was confirmed to be a high ankle sprain, David Njoku. And that's going to be, isn't that roughly a four to six week thing?
Yeah, it's the same thing as Addison, right? So probably a month, 6 weeks, depending on how bad it is. And that's, I mean, look, you know, not good for already struggling Deshaun Watson, right? Like, I mean, it's a good matchup against Jacksonville. We saw Tua just beat them up through the air, right? So their secondary is bad. So this is a good spot to get right for him at Jacksonville this week. But David Njoku is a huge target of theirs, and he's gone now. So that really sucks for Watson and that offense as a whole. And it's not just Njoku in the passing game. He's such a good run blocker as well. So and they had Wills not play and Conklin banged up again. So there are some missing pieces to an already struggling Browns offense.
And we'll see, because it was the fear was a high ankle sprain, but I'm seeing like an hour or two ago, Stefanski, they're putting him at week to week with this ankle injury, but okay, that might be maybe being optimistic.
It sounds more like a low ankle sprain, but still not great.
Yeah. And then Ferguson on the other tight end, Jake Ferguson, I think the positive was it's not a season ending injury, but he's going to miss some relatively significant time. He's a sprained MCL, not a torn MCL. So Ferguson and Joku are going to be out for a little bit. It's also why it speaks to Isaiah Likely, which we'll talk about here. Do we have that in the quick hitters? Cause I think he's one of the most, yeah, we have it down here in a little bit. We'll talk about Isaiah Likely because he might push the boundaries of being potentially the number one waiver wire pickup in what is a kind of weak-ish week. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Like it's mm-hmm. not a good, there isn't a running back that you're like, holy crap. You have like, there are running backs that are worth speculating on, but there isn't a running back that you go nuts about. And I would say the same thing about wide receivers. I'm not sure that there's a wide receiver that you're like, it's a Puka situation. Holy crap. We never saw this coming. There's a couple interesting ones, but they're just, I don't know if it's going to be worth moving off of what you could see out of Isaiah Likely this week. So this could be like a first time, but we'll talk about that here in just a second. And then the only other stuff was just, there's nothing else to it, but that Tyreek situation was wild. One thing I found out, I don't know if you had saw this before because it happened in real time when I was doing a show. Did you hear he got kicked, like shoved to the ground, and like one of the officers like kicked Tyreek Hill, and Calais Campbell was with him too, like, we're going to have some jobs being lost on that.
Yeah. I mean, they've already put a guy on leave. So, this is one of those things where it's like, oh no, what did Tyreek do now? You know, that's kind of how I saw it when I first woke up and saw all this stuff going on. Right. And then I was like, ooh, this sounds like maybe just not so great of a cop. So, just a really weird story. I don't know how this all is going to turn out, but it ain't good. But luckily it should be nothing on Tyreek and no discipline or anything weird. And that's the important thing for fantasy.
The last thing to talk about, it is old now at this point, is just the Jordan Love situation. What I do find interesting is we don't have clarity that's going to make everybody feel good from this respect. We know he is going to be out 3 to 6 weeks. The hope is that he is going to be able to beat that timeline. No matter what, there has to be an effect on these wide receivers. And it's brutal because if you watch that game, it's like, holy crap, Jaden Reed is a monster. And Christian Watson was getting red zone coverage and now it's taken away. And what I'm saying, the clarity is not there, is they've had 3 or 4 days, but we all kind of assume like, oh, Ryan Tannehill, he's worked in the system, blah, blah, blah. The rumor is they've talked, but there's still nothing. At this point, you can't bring a guy like Tannehill in on Wednesday and have him run the offense this week. So Malik Willis is going to run. And he looked, I mean, I know it was 2 plays, but he looked like a deer in the headlights. He didn't know what the hell he was doing. I don't know what they're going to do for this week. It's going to be short. By the way, Jaden Reed, I pointed this out on one of the pros things. I believe Jaden Reed had like the second highest slot percentage usage. It's like 83% out of the slot. It's going to be safety nets for Malik Willis this week. It's going to be Tucker Kraft. It's going to be Jaden Reed. And it's going to be Josh Jacobs. Just screen passes and 5-yard outs, whatever they can pass.
It's going to be Malik running around a lot.
And him running around like crazy.
And this is just worst case. I mean, outside of, you know, Love going down for the year, this is worst case scenario for an early injury for Green Bay, because not only did they just bring in Malik, they traded for him like 2 or 3 weeks ago. So he's still finding his
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Bearings in this offense, right? But also, you know, they dumped Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt before the season started. And I think you're going to have to bring Sean Clifford back. I don't know if he's already on the practice squad or whatever, but he's obviously coming back to back up Malik, and we might see musical chairs at the quarterback spot for Green Bay until Jordan Love comes back, if Malik just doesn't nail this down quickly this week. So
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking
the... In the sleeve.
Break it down.
What does it do to the pieces, though? Like, if Tannehill comes in, it's like, it's okay. It's kind of fun. It'll probably be for next week. But, like, how much are you downgrading the wide receivers?
I think you have to downgrade them a significant mark this week, for sure. If they do go and pick up Tannehill, or if Malik looks just like way better than expected, then we can push them back up. You know, we kind of panicked last year when everything was going bad for the Browns and Joe Flacco came in and looked pretty good, right? So there is a possibility of someone coming in and just looking pretty decent to start. I think that's a rarity, though.
It's not going to be Malik Willis.
It ain't going to be Malik, not after 2 or 3 weeks of being there and then being thrust into the starting role. So luckily, a little extra time to prep this week, right? Get the 2 extra days because they played on Friday. But I still, and they're playing on Monday, or no, that's Philly's playing on Monday. They're playing the Colts on Sunday. So yeah, I don't know. Just not a great scenario for the Packers here.
I really like... this is going to surprise people. I think I still really like Jaden Reed this week. I maybe I'm overdoing it, but I think the playmaking ability you saw out of him is something they need to not.
They'll give him reverses and short throws. But
that's what I'm getting at. Like stuff, they need to use him more. They use this very rigid, like it was, what was it? Romeo Doubs and maybe Watson or whatever. They would just do these like weird switch offs of how they, like you would see Doubs out of one and Wicks would take over. I think they just need to get him more in there. I think he could be a safety net. I'm going to be paying attention to his reception marker this week. And if they give him on the rushing yards, because just like you said, this is something that Willis is not going to be able to make big plays. So you're going to have to put him in spots to easily get the ball to your playmaker so they can go make the big plays. And that's going to be the key. And that's why I think the player that exemplifies that is Jaden Reed for that. So I'm actually going to be kind of probably up on him. I'm not going to be up on Christian Watson. I'm not going to be up. Wicks dropped every single pass thrown his way. He looked ridiculous. But Jaden Reed is someone that I am kind of interested in. And we'll watch and see what happens with this. If they bring in Ryan Tannehill, or they bring somebody else in. But it's not great. I know our Green Bay fans are
not great, Bob.
Quite unhappy right now, and I do not blame them. Friends, come over to InThisLeague.com if you guys want to hang out with us in the group me room popping off this weekend. We got the start and sit room where people are voting to help you with your start and sit decisions. We've got awesome community. You have access to us this week. We had this past week, we did the Thursday night stream with the Patreon. We did the Friday stream as well with Bet This League. If you want to catch those early, we got all our stuff and things. We'll actually get the week one was kind of crazy, but we'll have the ranks up for week two. We'll put on the Patreon as well. And just know you're supporting us. So come and check us out InThisLeague.com. InThisLeague.com. Support your boys today. Let's take a break. When we come back, quick hits. Let's hit some of the performances from this weekend where some of the chaos is. And then we're going to talk about who you might be wanting to look on the waiver wire. We'll do it all right for this on In This League.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
In This League.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In This League. Oh.
All right, let's look at some of these performances, and let's start with the quarterbacks. Caleb Williams was bad. He was bad. 14 for 29, 93. He looked like the speed of the NFL was affecting him. Like in preseason, it wasn't. Maybe, you know, things are slowed down. The speed of the NFL, you could see. You did see some glimpses of you know, of him shining, but you know, you put him on here because he was bad. He has a great wide receiver core. There was a little ankle injury from Keenan Allen, which I think is okay, but Adunze is also getting checked out.
Yeah.
So something to watch for the Bills or for the Bears is, you know, if Allen has any lingering of this ankle that happened towards the end of the game, and Adunze getting an MRI is not great. If you lose both of those weapons,
starting to look like last year's
Moore,
Bears.
Yeah, it's just back quick to the same team. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah, I think I saw a stat on Instagram today that the NFL, with a team going down by more than 14 in the second half, they were 2-306 if they didn't score an offensive touchdown in the second half, and the Bears made it 3 and 306 in their comeback and comeback win this week, because they didn't score an offensive touchdown in their comeback. It was like a pick six, a punt return, and a block or something, and they had a safety mixed in there as well. I think it was very strange, the performance from the Bears. They're not going to survive another week like this. And by the way, it's the Sunday night game against Houston in H-Town. That's not a great spot for Caleb Williams either. So he needs to get on it real quick, and not having those wide receivers there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
Would hurt, especially if they're missing practice time this week. So, don't really like what I saw from Caleb Williams from week one. Because I don't really think that this Titans defense is that scary yet either.
Do you also kind of regret, because I think there was a lot of like Caleb, people liking Caleb as like a top 12 option because of like quote upside. Like Jaden Daniels, I don't think he looked phenomenal, but he did with his legs and he made those happen. Do you think there's going to be some buyer's remorse for people that passed on like Purdy or Tua was the only quarterback to go over 300 this week, and there were instances where Caleb went ahead of both of them. You think there's going to be buyer's remorse?
I don't, but there might be after this week. But if you look at the Bears schedule coming up, because this is a tough game, like at Houston, right? Like it's not a fantastic one for this week. They did play them in the Hall of Fame game, so got a little bit of a scouting report there. But then they're at the Colts, against the Rams, against the Panthers, against the Jags, and then they have the bye week. They come back with the Commanders, the Cardinals, the Patriots. So this next stretch after this Texans game, should the whole league should slow down for Caleb Williams against those weaker opponents. And I think we'll start to see what we saw before, but week one looked bad and I don't have a lot of hopes for this week either.
One thing was really odd moving over. You mentioned the Colts. Talk about Anthony Richardson, really good, like on the ground and on big passes. If you don't look at attempts completions, you see 200 yards passing, two touchdowns, the best throw of the week, single-handed 860 plus yard in the air, falling. He tripped. He didn't have great balance and he threw a damn dime and threw that touchdown. And then he also ran for over 50 and another score. Those are great, but he only attempted 19 total passes and only completed 9. So think about that. I mean, Alec Pierce had 125 yards on 3 catches, and that was over 50% of his production from him. And then Doolin made that huge play as well. You take, I know you can't do the revisionist thing, but if you were to take those two touchdowns away, you take away the Doolin and you take away that Pierce, that's 100 plus yards and both scores away. Now you're looking at a guy that's like, let's say 7 for 17 with like 112 yards and rushing. It's not to take that away from the performance, but it is something to, I guess I'm asking you, is it something to monitor that like we might be more susceptible to some huge ups and some duds with Richardson as far as how his usage was and his completion rate? Or do you think it was just, you know, like, hey, don't worry about it. He makes those big plays. He makes up for it. I'm not worried about it.
Well, I mean, it's a weird game, right? So that I don't think there's going to be many games where he has fewer than 10 completions. So I'll say that. I think this was a weird game, and I think he'll be okay. And look, you know, this week, though, may not be the week because they're playing Green Bay. And if Green Bay is as weak offensively as we think they're going to be, then maybe Indy has the ball a lot and they're not passing a ton because they're running the clock in the fourth quarter to try to get a tough win on the road. So I think Richardson's going to be fine, and I'm not going to read too much into only 9 completions this week.
Okay, I'm trying to look here to look at adjusted completion percentage. I got to scroll. He had, completion percentage?
It was all big hitters too. It was kind of crazy. You know, like the Texans defense just had these big breakdowns.
So I'm looking here. His actual completion percentage was 47.4%. That was the second worst of any quarterback. He had, I'm just going through this, an adjusted completion percentage of only 50%, but 21.1% of his throw percentage was a deep ball, and he had the highest ADOT by 5 yards to the net. And I know these are obvious, but the next guy was Bryce Young.
But you know what the biggest factor here is that did you see how much time the Colts had on the clock in terms of time of possession? Did you catch that at all?
No.
It was 40 minutes the Texans held the ball to only 20 for the Colts. So that is not going to happen again. It's not going to happen against Green Bay with no Jordan Love. I guarantee you that. So we'll have more completions for.
I have a stat for you, though.
Moving forward.
Are you ready for this?
Let's hear it.
This to me is either a concerning, but also like take advantage of. Anthony Richardson had the single highest by almost 15% first read percentage. Can you guess what his first read percentage was this week?
80%.
94.7. That is every but one was his first read. You know who at number two was?
Bryce Young.
No, it was Baker Mayfield. But you know what that percentage was?
60%.
80%. That's a 15-point difference between first read. Everybody else is in the 70s. All I'm pointing out is like he was first read or nothing, and that equated to some of the bad throws. I don't know, man. He's going to have to do it with his feet on the ground. It might just be first week scheme and stuff like that, but that's not a good stat. That's a good stat if like they only looked at Michael Pittman and you're like,
I mean, it worked for Baker, but it's because the secondary was bad that they were playing, you know? So we'll see. I think A. Rich is going to get better. Remember, this is kind of still his rookie year. Like he only played 3 games, 3 1/4, whatever it was last season. So he is still going to have some bumps and bruises, but I think he'll be better next week for sure. This 40-20 disparity, it makes all of this kind of skewed.
I'd watch though on the first reads, because if he can't check down reads, it's going to be tough to be. You're going to be like what Jaden Daniels was. Like Jaden Daniels this week, by the way, had the highest percentage of yards from his position players after the catch. It was like 89% of his yards were his players doing it after the catch. That's the type of stuff that they might need to put Anthony Richardson in if he can't do checkdowns. And that's just what's going to, where you're going to have struggles, or what's benefit for him is he just takes it down and runs and goes crazy. Everything was bad in Carolina. We've kind of talked about it. Bryce Young looked awful. I don't think there's any coming back from that. So if you're in a super flex, I'm trying to do anything else. If you bank, I didn't bank on Bryce Young anywhere, but if you did, I don't like him as my backup.
You start Malik Willis over Bryce Young this week?
It's a great question. Carolina has the
Chargers.
The Chargers.
They're playing at home, and Green Bay is on the road against the Colts, I believe. That's in Green Bay. It's in Green Bay.
You know what? I might be overreacting here. I think I might, simply because I think Malik, I can get some rushing yards from, and hopefully he can pull a Jaden Daniels, throw one to Jaden Reed 2 yards and let Jaden get yak. So yeah, I would go with Malik over Bryce Young.
I'll tell you this, the Packers Colts game is 1 point higher on the total than the Panthers and Chargers. If you believe that is pretty crazy. So with Malik at the helm.
Do you think I'm being overreactionary about Bryce Young? Like I would, there's no,
I don't know. I mean, maybe he's just really this bad. I mean, you know, still the weapons are weak in Carolina, but you have Deontay Leggett look better than we thought. Jatavion Sanders can catch balls if you throw them to him. We saw him do it with Quinn Ewers at Texas. So they got to find some rhythm. And if I honestly believe, you know, this is a new coaching staff, a new front office, all that good stuff in Carolina. Like if we don't see a quick improvement from Bryce Young, I mean, real fast and over the next month, then just go to Andy Dalton. You have a whole locker room to keep with you next year as well. You just lost your best defensive player, probably for the year. It is disgusting in Carolina right now. It's bad.
The positive I would say for them is like Deontay and Thielen are like solid. Leggett got a bunch of targets. Like you got some decent options there, but they have no running game. They went back to Miles Sanders in this game a bunch. They can't establish a run. And it just, I think it puts a, puts him in a bad spot. And I don't think you're going to establish a run against the Chargers. So I hate him from every capacity this week. There's no chance. And then finally, you've been talking about it, but Bo Nix was really, really bad. 42 pass attempts. I asked this question. We never got it, but I wanted to know, what's the least amount of yards a guy has ever thrown for that completed 25 passes? Because both
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Nix has 138 passing yards on
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, Buckaroo.
All night.
26 completions. I can't imagine that was anyone has lower. And he had two picks. He's bad. You also think he's not long for the job.
I looked on PFF and they said 3 turnover worthy plays. I don't think that that is true. I mean, I saw balls bounce off of Seahawk defenders' hands at least 3 times. And then I wasn't even paying attention to that entire game. Bo Nix looked bad. He didn't look terrible coming back late. He had some nice throws, but that was against an exhausted Seahawks defense. So, against Pittsburgh, who just made Kirk Cousins and the Falcons look silly, I don't really like his odds here. And I don't know, man, maybe Driscoll is up. Maybe Zach Wilson is up. Zach Wilson didn't even have a helmet last week. So I just don't know how long you can keep Bo Nix in that job if he looks as bad as he did last week, because Pittsburgh's coming to town and their defense looked ready for the season.
Let's go over to the running backs here. Bijan, all the touches, baby. 18 carries, 68 yards. He had 5 targets, 5 catches. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't this awesome performance. Your Steelers were a pretty rough team for them, but the positive was over 20 touches. And that's what we wanted. It's the only prop. My stat still gets to stay correct. If he has 15 carries, he goes over 63 yards. He ended up doing that. It wasn't by a lot because he was not at that marker at 15 carries, but he went over 100 total yards. Bijan looks, you know,
89% of the snaps. Tyler Allgeier, 18%.
And that was probably one of the biggest questions we had coming in too, was like, was that going to, you know, what was going to maintain in that world? Was Tyler Allgeier going to take away some of it? We're all going to be pissed off, and it didn't happen. So I think, you know, we can feel pretty good about that. How about the Broncos situation? Javonte, 8 for 23 with 2 targets, 1 catch. McLaughlin, 10 for 27 with 5 receptions. He didn't have any yards with it, but 5 receptions, seemed to be like the primary passing down guy. Also did have 15. They have the explosive run percentage over on fantasy points. And he did, he was 10%. He was in the top 10%. So you actually had one in there. So what do you think on these, both of these guys, Javonte versus Jalen, moving forward?
I mean, I think I don't really care unless the quarterback situation gets figured out here, because you're going to face stacked boxes. You're going to have a big, nasty rotation. It was 52% of snaps for Javonte, 35% for Jaleel McLaughlin, and then 4% They went five wide a couple times. They played the fullback Michael Burton in there a couple times. This the whole thing looked bad. So I just don't really respect the Broncos offense until they show us something that we need to respect. So Bo Nix needs to get better. They're going to go with him moving forward, but I just really don't like the situation right now.
I like McLaughlin. I know you don't like the situation. I think it's fair to not like the situation, but if McLaughlin got cut, I'm picking him up because he is a PPR option. If you,
he lost the fumble though. Like,
I know, I understand that, but
everybody looked bad.
This is rhetorical, by the way, it's not at you, but if you like Jalen Warren and you're like, oh, he's going to like catch passes and stuff like that, you should like Jaleel McLaughlin. For if you like Austin Eckler for Washington, you should like Jaleel McLaughlin. Like, he got 10 carries and they gave him 15 touches in this game. It didn't amount to much because nothing amounted to much. But I think Jaleel McLaughlin is a must add this week, just simply based off the usage. But, you know, not trying to start. I'm not trying to like get him in. I'm not forcing him in the lineup. If anything, Javonte seems more consistent to not play this week than it is McLaughlin to play. I want to point this out before we get to these others, because you didn't have this on here because this stat just kind of came out. This is a crazy one. When you're looking at missed tackles, Ramondre Stevenson, by the way, this weekend forced 11 missed tackles on carries, which was crazy. 82% of his yards came after the contact, and he averaged around 4 yards after the contact, which was second best only to Saquon Barkley this week. And 99 of his yards were yards after contact. So he was a monster on breaking tackles, and I really like that. So there's a fun stat. Tony Pollard led in carries by a ton. He was the primary guy. There was another big question. 16 carries, 82 yards to Tajay, who only had 4. Are you comfortable moving forward? This is all Pollard.
No, I mean, I'm not comfortable moving forward. It's all Pollard, but I'm...
Well, to this degree, I'm saying.
They said hot hand, and Pollard is the hot hand right now, so he is the lead back until otherwise. You know, if he fumbles, yeah, maybe they'll go to Spears. And I think that's the fears. Like, you know, Pollard looks like a guy that could be an RB1 moving forward this season. He looked great, but you make one mistake, you have a bad game, and they will switch because Spears is not a bad RB either. So I'm confident in Pollard until he shows us a reason not to be.
Okay, I guess like that's a good way to kind of hedge. I mean, like, I agree, of course, like right. Until he shows it. But I would say like after
Look, I'm a Pollard one, believer. I think Pollard is the guy here, and I've said that all offseason, but you do have to know, Callahan has even said, we're going to ride a hot hand. Pollard's hot right now, but if something happens this week and he doesn't look as good, they can turn that situation on a dime.
I would say also, like, Pollard, with the level of his success, I think as you go and stack on successful weeks,
yeah,
when that hot hand starts to ride, I think, obviously, like, Pollard is never going to have a Tajay Spears type of day.
You give yourself a longer leash.
Yeah, exactly. Over on the Bengals, Zach Moss ended up having 9 for 44 and a score, also a couple targets. We did not see a lot of Chase Brown. Do you think this is going to continue?
Yeah, I do. And this is another situation. This is where I was wrong, right? I was right about Pollard, but right now with Moss looking good, I was wrong about Chase Brown. Now, I'll say this, the offense as a whole looked terrible. So we might see some wholesale changes this week just because the offense.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Looks so bad, but you know, your Chase wasn't at 100%. You missed T. Higgins. So your 1 and 2 wide receivers were down. You lost to a bad New England team, which was surprising. It wrecked a bunch of survivor pools. We saw all of that happen yesterday as well. But, you know, for right now, Zach Moss is the dude. I am confident that my strategy will take over, holding on to Chase Brown partway through the season, either because of skill or injury. I'm still a Chase Brown believer, but he is, you know...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's not what you did, son, that angers me, son. It's who you did it to.
Who? Nobody?
That's nobody.
ITL.
He is less startable now than he will be moving forward.
Two things nice to see. He was able to pull off. He at least had one, again, the explosive run, a run of over 15 yards, and he accounted for four first downs for the Bengals. So, like, that is a guy that they are going to lean on just even a little bit more. Like, he was that guy that was converting. He was even able to catch the ball out of the backfield. It's probably something that keeps him around. Travis Etienne, 12 for 44 and a score, couple catches, couple targets, had that bad fumble in the end zone. But the story was the usage of Bigsby and what they were talking about. And there's the question of, like, you know, what is this from? Is this from you lost a fumble, we go to it? Or the coach speak where they said, like, hey, we want to get him more involved. Do you think Bigsby is truly going to be maybe a flex option and or a threat to Etienne being like an RB1 or top 15 RB?
I would say he's more a threat to Etienne than he is a flex option at this point, because his snap percentage was still very low. So I'm not, you know, doing a victory lap at all for Tank Bigsby, right? Like, I have him in a couple spots, but it was a 37 to 17 difference. I mean, this dude had 17 snaps, carried the ball 12 times. So we mentioned it last night on the wrap-up show on FP. I think that's unbelievably predictable. When Tank Bigsby comes into the game, he's getting the ball at like an 80% clip. That's kind of stupid. So I don't know how that can survive, but I do know that they want to split this up. So maybe they're showing us a limited workload from Travis Etienne. I can't imagine that this was because of the fumble. It was a bad fumble in a bad spot, but he didn't fumble once last year. He's not really known for coughing the ball up. So I think it was a freak thing that happened. I don't see it happening again. And I just can't imagine that it was because of the fumble.
All right, let me ask you this. The Jaguars have the Browns coming up.
You look bad on rush defense.
Okay. Well, then maybe I'm going to have your answer. Who are you going to rank higher? Etienne versus the Browns or Pollard versus the Jets?
Let me see what the Jets look like tonight. Right.
It's to that level where it's like, if you think he can do, if the Jets are on a top five run defense, you think Pollard could be over Etienne this week? Cause I kind of do too. Pointing you out.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I kind of do. I mean, Pollard looked good. Pollard is the hot hand. So I think I'd rather go with him.
Speaking of you were saying something earlier, like, I was wrong on this. My biggest wrong of the week that I will easily write is Rico Dowdle is trash. Elliott 10 for 40, Rico 8 for 26. And they did not use him in any important situations. I might be a bit dramatic because, like, he's still going to get used in some, but I'll tell you, if you really watch the game, there was no important situation where Dowdle was in, regardless of percentage snap drives. I know they did.
You kind of said that sarcastically, but I read the snap report and all that stuff, and it was the only time that one guy started a drive after starting the other one was after halftime. Was Rico started the ninth drive and then the 10th drive right after halftime, I guess. So I didn't watch all of that game, but I saw them switching out, and the snap percentage was also, it was 32 to 28. So
in favor of Zeke.
Yeah. In favor of Zeke. Zeke only had two more carries though. Like, it is as close to 50-50 as they come between these guys, but the drive that you work on all week and you expect to score on is the first drive, and Zeke is the starter, and it got him the touchdown this week. So because of that, Zeke is the more valuable guy in this backfield now. But I still think this is a winnable job for Rico. So I'm not, like, tossing him quite yet.
I'm tossing him if there's something to toss. Like,
sure.
Like, I'm not going to get rid of him just for the sake of it. But if, like, hey, listen,
I'd rather have Alexander Mattison. So I'll say,
yeah, you know, probably I've already said, I think I'd rather have Jaleel McLaughlin in full PPR.
Yep.
And if I likely was out there, like, Rico is easy fodder to just dump. Just a couple other quick running back notes. Jaylen Warren was not involved. It was all Najee. I'll let you speak to all these. Alexander Mattison, who you mentioned, he played more than Zamir White and had a really nice play. And LOL, at least after week one, to Blake Corum having nothing after all of the nonsense, people letting him fall to the third round. I'm scared. I don't know. Blake Corum's the truth. Nothing after week one, zero involvement. So what do you want to hit? Mattison, Warren, Blake Corum.
I mean, I think the first thing to hit is Alexander Mattison, right?
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.